Well, good morning. On another gorgeous, beautiful morning the Lord has blessed us with. We're glad to see Brother Bill back. He's really had a rough time. Four bypass, was it?
Three.
Three bypass surgery 2 or 3 weeks ago, I guess it's been. And we're just glad to have him back. Bill is our normal song leader, and he's a good one, too. So when he gets back and gets into the groove, you'll hear some real good singing. He does a great job. I want to thank our visitors for being here and ask you to come back each and every chance you get. And be back tonight at 5 o'clock if you can, and we'll have another sermon. This morning I want to talk to you this about an Old Testament character named Achan and the myth about sin. The myth about sin. Now the nation of Israel just concluded 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. All of those who came out of Egypt in the beginning are no longer with them except for Joshua and Caleb. They now crossed the flooded Jordan River, which was miraculously divided by God so they could cross over. They're now on the western side of the Jordan River. They are in the land of Palestine. They have created the monuments of the 12 stones commemorating the crossings and have camped in Gilgal, east of Jericho. All of the Israelite males are circumcised, for circumcision had not been practiced during the years of the wilderness wandering. Following God's instruction, they enjoy an outstanding victory at Jericho, which is the key city in their conquest of central Palestine. And they focus, under the leadership of Joshua, on their next objective in their campaign to capture Canaan, the promised land. Part of the instructions concerning the destruction of Jericho are found in Joshua, the 6th chapter. Let's go there, please, and read Joshua chapter 6. And we'll read verses 17 and 18. That's Joshua. Joshua chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. The Bible tells us, beginning of verse 17, "And the city shall be under the ban. It and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But as for you, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, lest you covet them and take some of the things under the ban, so you would make the camp of Israel accursed and bring trouble on it." Now Ai was a very small town, and it was next on their list. Let's move over to chapter 7, if you would, of Joshua. Let's begin reading in verse 2. Now the passage says, "Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Bethaven, east of Bethel, and said to them, 'Go up and spy out the land.' So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they turned to Joshua and said to him, 'Do not let all the people go up. Only about 2,000 or 3,000 men need to go up to Ai. Do not make all the people tall up there, for they are few.' So about 3,000 men from the people went up there, but they fled from the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 of their men and pursued them from the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent, so the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, both he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, 'Alas, O Lord God, why didst thou ever bring this people over the Jordan only to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us? If only we had been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say since Israel has turned their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land will hear of it, and they will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will thou do to thy great name?' So the Lord said unto Joshua, 'Rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel had sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. And they have been even taking some of the things under the ban and have both stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, for they have become accursed. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. Rise up, consecrate the people, and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus the Lord, the God of Israel, has said, these are things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst. In the morning, then you shall come near by your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes by lot shall come near by families. And the family which the Lord takes shall come near by households. And the household which the Lord takes shall come near man by man. And it shall be that the one who is taken with the things under the ban shall be burned with fire, he and all that belong to him, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord and because he has committed a disgraceful thing in Israel. So without taking the time to read the rest of the account, we know that the guilty man's name was Achan. He had stolen a garment, silver and gold, from Jericho and buried him in the dirt in the midst of his tent. He and all of his were utterly destroyed. After this matter had been taken care of, Israel once again went up against Ai, and this time, with the guidance of God, they were victorious. Achan's case illustrates the power of sin. What he did caused a whole nation to suffer. Someone may say, yeah, but that's way back in the Old Testament times. What about now? Well, turn your Bibles to Hebrews, the second chapter, with me, please. Hebrews chapter 2. Now the Hebrew writer compares sin back then and sin now. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Let's look and see what he said, beginning in verse 2. Hebrew writer says in verse 2 of Hebrews 2, for if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. Now, if you would, please turn your Bibles over to chapter 10 of Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 28. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? The point is, brethren and friends, sin is sin is sin. Sin is sin. And the case of Achan refutes the very popular myths about sin. First of all, have you ever heard someone say it won't hurt just this one time with reference to sin? A lot of people seem to think that one sin, one little old sin, won't hurt. I wonder if Achan felt that same way. His one sin certainly cost him greatly, along with his family and his nation and the cause of his God. One sin does hurt. Eve's sin introduced death into the world. Moses' sin caused him to miss Canaan. Nadab and Abihu's one sin cost them their lives in a fiery end. Uzzah stuck out his hand to steady the Ark of the Covenant. One sin, and it cost him his life. Ananias and Sapphira lied in Acts chapter 5, and it cost them their lives. I wonder if they considered it a little white lie. Simon the sorcerer was said to be in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity after committing the one sin of seeking to buy the ability to impart miraculous spiritual gifts. So brethren and friends, if anyone thinks that one sin will not hurt, they need to consider that one sin may very well be a launching pad for many, many more. Think about what happens so many times when a person tells one lie. Soon they'll have to tell another lie to cover that lie, and then another to cover that lie, and then another and another, and it just continues on and on after that. Think of Joseph's brothers. They were envious of him. This led to hatred, and even to the point that they could not even speak peaceably to him. This was followed by conspiracy and bodily harm. Then they sold him into slavery. And to cover up their heinous crime, they conspired again to lie to their father. How about David? Here was a man described as being after God's heart, but he looked at a woman to lust after her. What did this do? This led to fornication. Then desperately, trying to cover his sin, he hatched a sordid little plot and finally had the woman's husband killed. Did this one sin hurt? Later in life, David would say these words. Come with me, if you will, to Psalms chapter 51. In Psalms 51, verses 2 and 3, David would write these words. He said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. God had forgiven David, but the guilt of David's sin was always with him until he died. The guilt was always with him. Look with me, if you will, at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verses 1 through 4, we see this is Paul's charge to Timothy, and it gives us a good indication that apostasy from the Lord occurs one step at a time, one sin after another. The passage says in verse 1 of 2 Timothy 4, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. And listen now, he says, and will turn away from their ears and turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Have you seen what just happened here? First, they will not endure sound doctrine. These are the folks who get mad at sound preaching. Preaching that truly not only exhorts, but it also reproves and it rebukes. Next, they will accumulate for themselves teachers who will scratch their itching ears. This means that they'll go seek a teacher who will teach just what they want to hear and in the way that they want to hear it. Soft preaching they want. And then finally, they will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. There it is. Going, gone. It didn't happen all at once. It started with one sin and getting angry with sound doctrine. So you see, each sin we commit weakens the resistance to the next sin. And brethren and friends, every sin hurts. Secondly, have you ever heard someone say, it's nobody's business what I do. If I sin, it's my business. Well, as we have seen, Achan's sin affected the entire nation. The entire nation. One sin. It hindered and it slowed the progress in capturing Canaan. His sin caused all the children of Israel to be rebuked. I want us to go back to Joshua the 7th chapter, if you would. In Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1 says, Therefore, the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel. In verse 11, God said, Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. Achan's sin caused the whole nation to suffer defeat. Look at verse 12. Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. Brethren, think of the fornicator. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 6 says, Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Now it's true that some sins, because of their personal nature, only hurt the individual in his relationship to God. But all too often an individual's sin has a way of hindering the gospel of Christ and hurting other members of the sinner's family and other members of the congregation. Now there's one more myth I want to talk about concerning the sin that Achan's case explores, and that is the idea that sin can be successfully hidden indefinitely. You know, I'm sure that Achan probably thought he had done a pretty good job of hiding his sin. It was hidden in the ground in the midst of his tent, and who would look there? Who would find it? But God knew all along, and ultimately all Israel found out about it. Every diligent Bible reader of today knows what he did. Moses warned the children of Israel in Numbers 32 and verse 23 with these words, Be sure your sin will find you out. He said, your sin will find you out. You can't hide it. A person can never sin and rightly feel secure in the belief that no one will ever know. There are just far too many ways for even secret sins to become known for anyone to be as foolish to think that it can't happen. Your sins will find you out. Now I read a story about two preachers. They were traveling a long way from home. Then they decided to stop in a bar and have a little drink. After all, they were so far away from anyone that they knew, and they were certain that their secret would never be known. Since nobody knew them and nobody knew that they were preachers, they figured no harm would be done. As they were about to leave, they got into a mild argument about who's going to pay the bill. When they were discussing the matter, the bartender leaned over real confidentially and he said, That's all right, fellas. We don't charge preachers in here anyway. They thought their sin was hidden. So don't ever count on your sins remaining hidden. But even if man never does know, God does. He knows everything. From the time it is conceived in our minds until it is committed, God knows. And turn your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews chapter 4. And brethren, we need to take heed of what is said here. Hebrews 4 and verse 13. The Hebrew writer says, And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There is no creature hidden from his sight. All the things are open and laid bare to him with whom we have to do. But brethren and friends, he has also provided a way out if we'll just look for it. More often than we may realize, our sin is not hidden as others thought it was. You might recall back in Exodus 2 with Moses and the Egyptian who was beating a Hebrew. Remember that story? Well, come with me to Exodus chapter 2. Now in verse 12 of Exodus 2, So he looked this way and that. And when he saw there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He thought he got away with him. Now let's go down to verse 14. But he said, who made you a prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and he said, surely the matter has become known. We may be more transparent than we think. We may be even seen when we are not aware of it. Guilt has its way of showing itself too. But even if no one on earth ever knows, God knows, and He will judge us according to the works done in the body, whether they be good or bad. Excuse me. So, brethren and friends, one sin, not repented, can make a huge difference. So let us never try to kid ourselves about that. Just one sin does hurt. Just one sin may very well hurt someone else. Just one sin may very well be found out by others. And you know what? It's already known by the Lord. So let us never minimize the damage sin can do to ourselves and others. And brethren, we are talking here about eternity. Go back with me, if you will, to Genesis, the 19th chapter. Genesis chapter 19. And we also learn from Sodom and Gomorrah that sin dangerously brings great punishment. Sin brought devastating punishment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels warned Lot in Genesis 19, verse 14. It says, the Lord will destroy this city in verse 14. And the destruction did come as the angels had warned in verse 24. The Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. The destruction of that city was so, those cities were so massive that even Abraham could see them from afar. Verse 28, the Bible says, the smoke of the land which went up like smoke of a furnace. Come with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. Just as with Sodom and Gomorrah, we learn that sin will also bring great punishment upon us. Now, after citing Sodom and Gomorrah as an example, Peter said in verse 9, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. So my dear unsaved friend, if you reject God today, the punishment that awaits you will be even more devastating than Sodom and Gomorrah ever thought to be. And you know what? One day our Lord will return. Paul tells the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's going to come back, Paul says. He's going to take vengeance, flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're not a member of the Lord's church, the Church of Christ, then you haven't obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you have no chance of going to heaven. So I beg you to please take advantage of this opportunity. This could be the last opportunity you'll ever have. Take advantage of this opportunity and come out of sin's blindness and see Jesus, who is the true light. If we can help anyone here this morning make their life right with God, we beg you and we plead with you to come forward now, repenting of your sin. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, because He most assuredly is. And then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Then again, when you rise out of that watery grave, you'll be a new creature, born again. down that road that leads to heaven. There may be that some here this morning have done all those things, but have sinned in a way that others are aware of. You too need to take care of that. You can do that by coming forward after you pray to God for repentance, and let us pray with you and pray for you. And we'd be glad to do that to anyone here this morning. If we can help anyone in any way make their life right with God, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Charlie.